NBA Odds Pod on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is the place you want to get in on all the college basketball and NBA action. Use the promo code SGP to receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets. That's promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid at MyBookie.ag. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the fastest growing daily fantasy site on the planet. And if you use promo code SGP, you get a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's monkeyknifefight.com, promo code SGP. And last but not least, we're also brought to you by the NBA Odds Pod Frauds Contest. We're giving away $1,000 if you're able to identify the frauds for the second half of the NBA season. Just go to sgpn.io/NBA frauds. That's sgpn.io/NBA frauds, and you can enter for free. Thank you so much for coming back to the NBA Odds Pod, the world's greatest NBA gambling show, normally, because today we have a very different episode for you. In addition to me being the editor of sportsgamblingpodcast.com and producing this show, I have a whole nother life working in television. I worked at The Late Late Show with James Corden for 4.5 years, where I got to have a number of interactions with NBA players, which was just a dream come true for me. I thought it'd be fun if I invited a couple of my coworkers to come on the podcast and talk about some of our favorite appearances by basketball players on late night, and maybe what goes on behind the scenes with them. Joining me is Adam Abramson, who worked on Jimmy Fallon, Saturday Night Live, and James Corden. Also, Nick Bernstein, who's worked in late night for over 15 years with Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien. He was the executive producer of The Pete Holmes Show, and now he works with James Corden and Stephen Colbert as the VP of CBS Late Night Programming. We talk about a number of fun stories with Steph Curry, Shaquille O'Neal, Kyrie Irving, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, Amari Stoudemire, Chris Bosh, LeBron, and we'll get to many more. This is a long pod, but there's a lot of fun stuff in it. So if you like NBA players on talk shows and doing comedy bits, or you want some insight into what it's like behind the scenes on a late night talk show, definitely keep listening to this episode because I know you'll really enjoy it. If you're just here for gambling talk, I totally understand that. You can just skip this episode, and I will be back on this Wednesday with Megan Making Money, and we'll be talking about our favorite bets and props for All-Star Weekend. Okay, thanks. Okay, and now I am joined by Nick Bernstein and Adam Abramson. I worked with them both for over 4.5 years, almost 5 years, on The Late Late Show. Adam is director of digital for Late Late Show, and Nick is VP of Late Night Programming, which you can talk a little bit. I don't know totally what you do. I know you're busy and very important, but I don't. I couldn't. Barely.
There's like, it sounds like an important title because it says VP, but there's like 300 of us at CBS.
There is, but I would say like we are a show full of, I don't know, semi-adults, and like there has to be one adult to make sure that the show gets on television every night legally. S&P-wise, standard and practice-wise, and everything. I feel like if something were to go really bad, it'd be your fault, Nick.
That might be true. Most of my job on a daily basis, though, is telling other people that they did a good job. So
so you're kind of like the dad.
I get to play a little bit at CBS.
Sure. I think of him as much. I mean, more so than even late night. I come to you with a lot of like, hey, I'm in crisis, personally.
Well, that's very nice of both of you. We gotten to work on a lot of shows together, but this is where it all started.
Yeah, Drop the Mic, Carpool Karaoke, the series for Apple, and Nick had the great idea, since we had been talking about doing a podcast, and then the unfortunate tragic news happened of Kobe. Nick had the great idea to maybe just talk keep it a little lighter and talk about some of our favorite memories of NBA players coming on some of the shows that we worked on, some personal interactions we might have had, or just maybe some, even if we didn't have a personal interaction with, like, some of our favorite memories of NBA players on talk shows. And Nick's worked in late night for 15 years.
Yeah.
So you were at, well, you guys both were at NBC before you came to Late Late Show, or CBS. Adam worked for Fallon for many years in Saturday Night Live. Nick, you were at Conan.
Yeah, I started at NBC also in the early 2000s. I started as a page giving tours and things in Burbank. And then I was an assistant in the late night department. My boss was Rick Ludwin, who passed away a couple months ago. But he, I stayed in Rick's department from like 2000 through 2011. And then I ran my own late night show for a while on TBS with Pete Holmes before I came over here. So I've worked on a lot of late night shows and been around a lot of what's always really exciting for us is anytime someone in the sports world, but because I love basketball and I know you guys do too, when any basketball player came onto the shows, it was like an absolute rush.
Yeah.
Always been that way for me. Even going back to the beginning, like, you learn pretty quickly to not get, you can't get starstruck doing a late night show because there's just so many people coming through the production.
Yeah.
But yeah, athletes, particularly basketball players, they just seem to freeze like a large percentage of the staff every time.
Absolutely. People will always ask me, like, who are the cool, or, you know, who are the most impressive celebrities you've met? And I always say, like, it's interesting because most celebrities are, if they're actors, they're a little smaller than you expect them to be. You know, maybe not as stunning as they are on camera for one reason or another. But athletes, whether it be football players, basketball players, even baseball players who've come on, they are much bigger and more impressive than you expect.
Well, and with Kobe, especially, we were all so emotional last week. And every single late night host had a connection with him when he was on their shows. To the point, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw Kimmel did an entire hour as a tribute and showed all of these clips from 15 plus years worth of times he was on.
He said he was like on 15 or 16 times or something like that, Kimmel?
Yeah, I mean, it was, and, you know, I watched them all and it was really poignant. It was great when he was here on Corden, and it was after he'd retired and we were, I think, just as starstruck as we would have been with anybody. But even going back to when I was at NBC, one of the most important bookings we had when Conan hosted The Tonight Show is when Kobe came on after they won the championship in 2009 when they beat the Magic. And Kobe hadn't been on that show before. And it was such a stamp of, like, we've arrived.
Yeah.
As a show, because you do The Tonight Show and you get the MVP of the world championship game with somebody as important as Kobe was, it really meant the world.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, I mean, you've been in his orbit a couple of times, like, coming off of that. So that was 11 years ago, height of his powers. Yeah. Was he the Kobe that, like, we're all remembering now to you then? Like, do you remember him that way? Because, like, he came here, in, like you said, post-career. And we got, especially when he came with Glenn Keane, and they did some animation stuff that they were doing.
He did his short, his Academy Award-winning short, The Animator Who Helped Him.
Yes,
that.
Yeah. So, like, there was that version of Kobe. Like, he was very stoic. He was, you know, like, this post-basketball Kobe. Do you remember him like that 11 years ago?
I think that he was probably even more relaxed now, the more recent times that he was on, which was like just the last 3 years or so on the Corden show. But you got to see a relaxed Kobe having won. I think that he just came across as someone who understood his role as a performer. And he just embraced who he was. And I think, you know, it was said a lot here in LA, I think it hurt even more than anywhere because of how many decades he was here and an important figure. That Conan audience in the same way as the Corden audiences, as Kimmel showed. They embraced him as one of theirs. And especially in 2009, having been through all of the hurdles that he'd gone through personally and that the team had gone through since they last won, for him to come out at the other end, I think everyone just was so happy for him and for the team. It really, it showed in the way that they treated him, and he was gracious to everybody.
Yeah, and when he came, Adam was saying when he came here, we don't see, there's not necessarily one celebrity that everybody wants to take photos with when they come. And also, we're supposed to be professional, and not everybody is supposed to run up and take selfies with celebrities who come on the show. But I got to say, Kobe was probably the most requested selfie of any of the celebrities that I can remember. And he seemed to be very gracious about it.
I mean, there's a lot of there was a lot of photos posted of people from our staff and Kobe from his visit here. And yeah, he certainly looked like he was into every picture.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. I would say it was in order. Kermit the Frog when he was on the show.
Yeah, Kermit the Frog.
And Kobe Bryant. Those are the two most requested photos.
Were there, a physical line of people. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was very great. And we were talking, one of our coworkers brought like three basketballs for him to sign, and he signed them without, like, Adam and I talked about it afterward. We'd be terrified to ask Kobe to sign something.
Absolutely.
And he was very cool about it.
But yeah, I think he said very subtly, I wore my Kobe's to work that day, but I didn't have the gall to go up or say anything to him.
You're old school.
Well, most of the time. I have been a little more, a little less old school when it came to meeting some other people who've been on the show.
Fair.
Who did you have the most fan freakout of? Because you're always a very cool customer, so I can't imagine you even getting...
Okay. Freakout might be an overstatement. I don't go on most of the remotes when the Corden guys go out and shoot something outside of the studio, which both of you have been on multiple times. I did, however, fly with the team to Oakland.
Yes.
I do remember
to shoot a remote with Steph Curry.
A good remote, a great remote.
It was a really good remote. I got all credit to James and to Ben Winston and Rob Crabb, because they were more than happy to have me tag along. And
even especially Ben, who likes to hold it over your head to get you to freak out a little more about NBA players.
they enjoy. I try to keep my cool most of the time. So there was a situation in which James and Steph Curry are in one car, and there's a follow car behind where I'm in it with a couple of other people from the team, and we're watching the video and listening to the audio as the conversation's going on between Steph and James. They're supposed to be talking about whatever comedy business they're doing.
And time is valuable on these shoots.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much. It's during the season where this is happening. He just had a day off. So at some point, we're driving to the destination we're going to, which was a mini golf course. Don't ask questions. You can watch it on online, youtube.com/Corden. Whatever it is. Sorry. So... We're in the car, and James starts telling Steph that there's one person on the staff who's quote unquote obsessed with him. And I am mortified listening to this thing.
Because you know he's talking about you.
I know he's talking about me. Then he says me by name to Steph in the car. I'm wearing my Curry's just out of respect. I don't get anything signed. I really do. I like playing basketball, and it's my favorite brand to play in. And then we all stop at the car and we get out. And the first thing I have to tell Steph Curry when I'm meeting him is not how much I enjoy watching him play. It's I'm not obsessed with you. I just admire the way you play.
I just talk about you all the time.
And he did see my shoes and said, thanks for representing or something
that's
like that.
That's fine. But it's so wrong with them, because for people that can't understand this podcast, it's so not you. I mean, for them to put you in that situation is a very hilarious.
They like to watch me squirm a little bit, because it's very much out of love. And I will say Curry was a great sport. He had a really good time that day. I was just hanging out and he would turn to me to tell me how funny he thought James was. Every once in a while I could throw out a suggestion for something they could do because I really wanted there to be some basketball comedy references in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just the like,
and James doesn't really know basketball.
And though. It's not his sport. He has, I mean, I will give him all credit. Like all the British people on staff have really fallen for basketball as sort of like their second sport.
Absolutely.
But they didn't really know nuances. And I thought if we could throw a couple things in there, that would be a lot of fun. Some things got in, some things don't. No, never a problem. They don't
it's always kind of have joke, yeah.
Well,
did he remember, do you guys have a reunion when he came here to shoot? When he came here as a guest, he did that, the human 3-point with James. Did you guys have, did you guys reunion?
I didn't.
You stayed in your office.
I didn't. You know what?
Did you wear your Curry's that day?
Yeah. I did.
Just in case.
Just in case.
I didn't. I wore a different pair, but I but I did wear them. No, that is a thing where I'm not necessarily one who needs to meet the people who were there. I just think that it's really cool when they're on. And there's so much that you don't get to see when someone's on the court. So anytime you can get into the personality of a lot of these guys who now, like the age of the athletes that are superstars now, they're all aware of like how to bring something, how to get something out of them outside mm-hmm. of the game. And they want to, a lot of these guys, they want to be able to show that they have personality and can do something outside of just hoop.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that anytime an athlete is charismatic or good on a show, a lot of the public at large doesn't realize how difficult that can be for them because they just see them all as celebrities, the same as comedians, same as actors who are constant. That's their world, being on TV, being on talk shows and stuff. These guys are kind of out of their element when they're doing such a thing. So when you do see an athlete do well in an interview or hold their own, I think it's really impressive. One quick example of how out of their element they are is JJ Redick was on the show, and he's as intelligent and savvy media guy as there is probably in the NBA.
For sure.
But he was doing a segment with James on the stage, and James threw to commercial, and he's just, all he's supposed to do when James throws to commercial is stand there. But he must have thought he was done and just immediately walked off the stage as the camera is panning out. So you just see him making a beeline for the door. Yeah. And that's just like a little thing that other people who are constantly on TV know not to do. Now for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The NBA season is already halfway over. If you've been thinking about betting on some games but haven't gotten around to it, now is the time. Go to mybookie.ag. They've got the fastest payouts, best promotions, and very helpful 24/7 customer support team. You can even pool your bets together for bigger payouts. Let's say you got a couple of big favorites this week. Parlay wagers lets you bet multiple games together, and if they all come through, you win big. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sportsbook around. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use promo code SGP to activate this offer. Once again, that's promo code SGP to get your extra cash from mybookie.ag. Bet, win, and get paid.
Well, you got to think too, most players are told to be contrite with media.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're giving an interview, when you're talking about other players, when there's rumors and conjecture about you out there that you don't want to give that much away. So anyone who's willing to share of themselves a little bit more really becomes an incredibly valuable asset to talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, you know, however you feel about him as a player or as a teammate, like Kyrie Irving is one of my favorite people because he's so good as a talk show host. He's an incredible player. I also want to love
talk show
Kyrie.
Guest.
Sorry, talk show guest. Yeah, he probably could host.
He's revealing his plans for
yeah.
You guys have my 1:35 a.m.
Is this the replacement for James inevitably?
Kyrie.
As a guest, when so I in the summer of 2012, I was doing a pilot with Pete Holmes as a late night show that would follow Conan on TBS.
Which became the Pete Holmes
show. The Pete Holmes show. In the summer of 2012, we were working on the pilot, and he was spending a weekend doing shows in Cleveland during our pilot process. And we reached out to the Cavaliers to say, hey, would Kyrie be interested in doing something with us? He had just finished his rookie year. He just won rookie of the year. I don't even know if he'd won rookie. Yeah, he must have just won rookie of the year.
He won rookie of the year,
yeah. The timing, I meant. I'm not sure if he'd won it yet.
Okay.
But I think he had. He must have. I had read a Sports Illustrated article about him where he talked about, like, he enjoyed musicals and he the sort of comedy that he liked, and he just had like a real quirky personality. And he said, yes, we had to travel to, this is one of, I don't go on remotes. I didn't go on this one. It's like one of the things I regret the most in my career is I didn't go to this thing. So Pete went to Cleveland, sat in the locker room with Kyrie, asked him questions about how much money he made, what type of house he was buying. He basically forced Kyrie to do a Ray Romano impression. They sang Little Mermaid together.
I remember that, yeah.
And then they went onto the court, and Pete was trash talking Kyrie, but with all things that, like, Pete thought would be good trash talking, like Mad Men digs and like nothing that made sense to basketball necessarily.
Does Pete follow?
Pete doesn't know anything about basketball.
No way.
He's his joke, which I'll butcher here, and I apologize, Pete, if you ever listen to this. He's 6'6", and he was 6'6" in high school, but he didn't ever play. And every time the basketball coach saw him in the hallways, the coach would just go, "Why?" but he was great at sort of getting something out of these players. And that Kyrie interview, I am positive, is the reason that we got picked up to series, because you could see that Pete can talk to other comedians, he can do comedy sketches, but he also can get something out of athletes. But a lot of that credit has to go to Kyrie for being willing to talk to somebody he'd never heard of before and have experience like becoming a great guest
and have fun with it. Yeah.
And having fun. Yeah.
I feel like so many guys would be so afraid in that moment to really like lean in to somebody like Pete's energy.
Yeah.
Do something big and crazy. But yeah, I guess, I don't know. It's wild that the correlation between stardom. I mean, I don't know. I wonder what the correlation between like these ultra stars and that charisma that comes along with it. I mean, I never really sat down and thought about it. Like how many of the biggest players in the sport can carry that, I don't know, that side as well, that creative side.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Kawhi is definitely not, like, a guy you would expect to come on a late night couch and...
No.
And, like, captivate. I mean,
he won't even give, like, normal interviews, really.
Yeah.
You know, or it doesn't say much in press conferences at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would imagine nowadays that the rate would probably be higher than ever, just because we have some... Like, these guys have so many tools to put themselves into the public. They're probably a little more...
There are more athletes that have, like, their own YouTube channels where they're creating content. And
yeah.
It does seem like... Well, just everybody is wanting to create content. Hence, I'm doing a podcast with you guys right now.
I know. Well, speaking of podcasts, because they're talking about just the Captain Charisma. I know the three of us have listened to it. It was the recent podcast of Charles Barkley on Conan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was my favorite Conan podcast yet, I think.
Yeah, I haven't laughed that hard in a while.
I was telling Adam before we started, I don't think I've heard... another guest, and Conan has some of the biggest names in comedy on.
Yeah,
I don't think
absolutely.
I've heard another guest come on and roast Conan quite the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Much to Conan's delight.
Yes. No, Barkley's great at it. I mean, Barkley's been doing guest segments on shows since Letterman doing the 12:30 show.
Yeah.
He was way back then. And no one's as outspoken, but also like someone who's honed comedy chops over the years, like Barkley, it's unbelievable.
The timing, we were talking earlier, his timing is unbelievable. The way he can just deliver a response or something is uncanny. I mean,
how many SNLs has he hosted?
At least three,
which is
crazy.
Yeah, them being hilarious way back when I was a kid. I mean, I loved him because he played for Phoenix, so I was always a huge Barkley fan.
Sure.
But I just remember loving his SNLs.
If there's a takeaway, I would say if there's a takeaway from anybody listening to this, it would be to go listen to that podcast. Because if he's just, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Oh, he was hilarious. Talking about how Shaq doesn't know anything about basketball. And anytime you know, you can catch him not knowing what he's talking about when he's like, well, you never won a ring. That's just what he comes back to. Conan telling the story that he and his wife are sitting at a very nice restaurant and having a drink and just enjoying themselves. And suddenly two Apple teenies show up. And I'm like, where does this come from? They're like, Mr. Barkley at the bar sent these over for you. Which is just a great move, sending somebody Apple teenies.
It is great.
I'm curious, because you've spent time around both of them a lot. We know James Corden gets legitimately excited when a premier athlete is coming on the show.
Yeah.
Just out of fandom for sport. Was Conan like that? Was he interested in athletes, whether he was into the sport or not?
Well, yes, he was definitely excited when somebody who's at the pinnacle of their career comes on to join in his silliness. The most excited I can remember Conan getting, though, was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came on together. And I think they did a couple of different promotions where they were together. I feel like this was because they had that HBO documentary that came out about their relationship.
Yep.
Which is a really terrific documentary. And Conan, because he grew up in Boston, has great reverence for Larry. And Magic is another one of these all-time great guests. Who's been doing this, for longer than probably anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to have fun with them. Larry's very, I call him Larry like I know him. Bird's very droll and had all these one-liners that you weren't sure if he was serious or joking at first. So it took a while to catch his rhythm. And then it was clear that he was having fun with both Magic and with Conan. And so, yeah, they were, that was like, one of the greats. I feel like Conan's mentioned this a lot of times before. He gets most excited personally, I think, when someone that he grew up following was a guest on the show. And a lot of that was like a Don Adams of like Get Smart and like
sure.
Bob Newhart,
yeah.
Of that era, the people who he only saw on the television. Or like a Doris Kearns Goodwin. He really was excited when she was on.
Well, he's talked too about how excited he gets when anybody from SCTV comes on.
Oh yeah.
Cause he grew up just loving that sketch show. And if you've just seen his career, that really influenced his writing style.
Yeah. But Conan really, in the same way that James does, I think almost every host, they like being able to do, physical comedy also. So like Conan going out to Conan went to the Olympics and like got on the speed skating rink and like tried to show off what he could do. Corden, even for Game On, like doing bits with the Lakers dance squad or doing things with Gronk. I know it hasn't come out yet, but it's all over the internet. Those things he really enjoys.
I'm trying to think who's been on the Late Late Show with James Corden from the NBA.
Well, I wrote down the list.
Oh, you did?
Oh. Yeah,
I wrote down the list. I was interested. I was trying to think back.
Okay.
So the first person was Chris Bosh.
Yes. Oh, I remember. A great appearance for all of us.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, we got to play against him.
Yes.
We did 1 versus 100.
1 versus 100.
Was it 100 or 30?
Well, I think we might have called it.
I think
that.
We built it.
I don't
it
think
up
it was actually.
Let's not spoil
people.
How TV actually works.
So,
thanks a lot,
yeah.
Ryan.
But what the?
Don't look it up. Don't count.
But the bit they should go watch the bit. Is
yes.
That, we all try to our best once to score on Chris Bosh, and he rejects all of us.
Yeah, murders.
Yeah,
us.
He said he did say my attempt was nice. I don't know if it made the cut.
I bet it did.
But he complimented my take to the rim that he ultimately rejected, like everybody else's. But I threw a little head fake in there. I think he appreciated that.
I would say one of the nicest guests that I can remember, too. Just super nice guy, Bosh.
He was a blast.
Yeah, super nice guy. Personal hero as a Miami Heat, grew up with a Miami Heat fan. But yes, okay.
He was great.
Special day here. Very special day for us.
Jimmy Butler was on after they won Olympic gold.
Yes.
I'm looking at an autograph from him in your office right now.
Yeah. That was very nice. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't ask specifically
for it. Did Ben arrange that?
Which part?
The autograph?
I think Bert might have.
Okay. Yeah. Because somebody else on our staff, Rob, got one as well. I know Rob is a big Jimmy Butler guy.
Yeah,
No,
he signed it. Like it's very nice. He was a great guest. He also had, depending on your point of view, either the fortune or misfortune of being a guest on the same couch as Adam Pally,
who's one of my
good friends. But he likes to, quote unquote, destroy late night shows.
Yeah.
As people working in late night, I will say that he's an all-time favorite for people. He's not like a household name by any of it, but when he comes on late night shows, at least people who don't have to deal with directly producing him on the couch, we love it.
I mean, yes. I've watched thousands and thousands of hours of late night, and spontaneity is one of my great joys in it. And I never know what he's going to do. And neither did Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
But it was a really fun appearance. He was great. I mean, he was willing to play and answered all the questions. Anthony Davis was on once.
AD.
I remember that. Right. Yeah.
He was great.
Still in New Orleans at the time.
Yep.
He came on. Did he just come on as a guest? I don't remember.
He came on as a guest, and it was the same time when Morrissey was on.
Wow, good point.
And because I remember this because Anthony Davis wanted pizza in his room for his crew, which is a totally normal request.
Absolutely.
But they were afraid that Morrissey would get mad because he's so vegan and he doesn't want cheese anywhere near him, that he didn't want anybody to even smell it.
That is a deep cut. I did not remember that. And then I will say an underrated appearance. A couple years ago is when Damian Lillard was a guest on the show. And not only was he great as a guest, but he did a comedy bit with us because our head writer, Ian Carmel, is from Portland and had an anecdote about being at one of the Portland games in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It was when they were playing the Clippers and Damian Lillard hit that three-pointer to win the game at the end of the game, and you could see in one of the shots you can see Ian in the crowd cheering. And so the bit then became James interviewing Damian about that game-winning shot and Ian just sitting next to Damian talking about
credit,
how
right?
much he did in the crowd to will that to happen.
And Dame was a great sport. He was really fun. And then so this was the one time where the EP of the show, Ben Winston, he wasn't able to be at that episode. And so I told Ian, I was like, wouldn't it be funny if the one time that there's an NBA All-Star here, you're not here, so we should take a picture with Dame. And Ian's like, yeah, that's great. And then we go into the guest room backstage and Ian goes, here, let me take a picture of you and Dame.
No.
And ghosted out of the photo. And I was like, well, now it just looks like I'm a fan who wants a photo.
Yeah,
this
I
is
see
supposed
like
to be
that.
A bit. And Ian's like, I didn't really want to be in it. And I was like, oh, well, I have some great photos of me and Dame that I think I sent one on. But
you're conquering the Western Conference point guards one
really
by
am.
One.
I am. I'm
Steph,
going specifically the Pacific Division. Yeah.
Somebody let Chris Paul know.
Well, Chris Paul was on the show once.
Yes,
Chris
CP Paul's was
on. The show.
That was a great episode because that was
Steve Nash, too.
So that game was, or that show was on the night of the NCAA championship, which was on CBS that year. And I always really enjoy it when we can do a late night episode following a major sporting event, because it's just a different group of audience that's watching that game that might stick around and watch something that's a little unique afterwards. And we made it a basketball themed episode. I didn't realize we weren't going to get on until like 1:45 in the morning. And they still hold it over my head. Although I will say it was one of the, I think, five biggest rated episodes that we'd had at that time. But I don't know.
So
if
hold
it still
over
the king
there.
Wins, baby. The king wins. Yeah.
It wasn't. I don't know. Listen, I think it's an either or. I was humbled by the time.
Now for another quick break, and I'll be right back with Adam and Nick. Have you ever thought about starting your own sports book but don't know how? Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
They did something physical, right? They did a shootout.
So they did the human basketball. Yeah. I remember this very well. I grew up in Phoenix. So I was a huge Steve Nash fan.
Yes.
And I totally wussed out of asking for a picture or even to meet him. I was in the green room and I saw him come in and I just got scared. I did not ask.
I mean, I get it.
I wanted to ask you about this because you guys were probably both in the control room. Now, we play human basketball where they lift James up in the rafters with a basketball hoop attached to him. He's basically the backboard, and they're supposed to shoot. But instead of shooting, both Nash and Chris Paul just start chucking balls directly at him.
Yeah.
Were you guys freaking out in the control room? Like, what are they doing? Or
I think... Well, I would say, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I would say that we have to, like, it's good to, like, it's funny. So I think the first thing is, like, this is a funny moment. And the other side of it, I think there is concern for the host in that moment.
It's not a comfortable position to be in, to be that high up. And whatever they put him in is a pretty tight contraption. So it's not comfortable either. Freak out might be overstating it. But it was like, let's get him down as fast as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's no surprise. Like, we rehearse our show and you want to try to obviously have an understanding of what's going to happen before it happens. So when they just start throwing the ball, we didn't prepare for that. So there's a lot of variables in that moment.
I think there's
nervous energy. But I mean, he survived.
Yeah, no, it was fine. He played it off very well. It's still funny a bit.
Yeah, I think that the last person I can recall who was guest via satellite was when Kevin Durant was on right after Golden State won the first year that Kevin was on the team.
Yes.
Kevin, again, why am I calling all these people by their first name? This is horrible.
No, you know them.
I don't know any of them. But Katie was gracious enough to bring his camera like into his house and was like, I think James asked him what was in his fridge.
We got to see his fridge. Yeah. Uh-huh. He had some friends hanging out.
He was just doing a selfie video. And quick story about that was we have a Ryan Williams, who's on our talent booking team. He booked. He booked KD. And Ryan Williams, be the first to tell you, he doesn't know anything about sports, even though he has to now book athletes. And
he's great at it, too.
He's really great at it. And there was a point when they were. Before the show, they were testing the video link that KD was going to do. So, and James wasn't on stage, so Ryan just had to be on stage making conversation with KD. And he said he was so uncomfortable. He didn't know what to talk to him about.
That's really funny.
Those are the weird places when you're working on a show like this that you'll find yourself. You're like, what do I say to KD?
Yeah.
We would probably just talk to him about basketball, but he didn't know anything about his career.
He wouldn't even know where to begin with KD.
Yeah.
There was one name I know Ryan brought up earlier. I think you're missing, but it could have been post playing days. I don't remember if he was still actively playing, but do you know who I'm talking about? Former Phoenix Sun, Amari Stoudemire.
Was
on our show.
Jeez, I just forgot. Yeah, he was
early on.
Very early on, Amari Stoudemire came on, and this was when we were still having trouble as a show booking guests. So I don't even think he was necessarily promoting anything, but he wanted to come on and talk about his art collection. Is this ringing a bell yet?
I don't remember this.
And
this is a big black hole for me.
Brought a painting, not that he painted, but just one of an artist that I guess he is pushing. And he wanted to bring the painting out on stage and talk about the painting on stage. Like, maybe that doesn't make the best TV. So
come look at this painting.
The consolation prize was that Tyler and I had to go take photos of him in the green room standing next to his painting and then post them on our social media account.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe that one escaped me.
And another one that escaped you, Ben Simmons.
and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons. That was big.
He did Nuzzle Wah, right?
He did Nuzzle Wah.
Yep.
Well, he was, yeah, I think he, wasn't he a guest also on a CBS comedy that Ben had also been producing? I feel like that's how they might have connected.
Yeah, I think so.
Ben Simmons was pretty good. This is the thing that's sort of exciting about like the new generation of players, right? You're starting to see whose personality comes out and what they're going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I've seen Luka as a guest anywhere yet.
Not yet.
No. But I'm really excited for when I'm sure that someone's going to go to the All-Star game and do like the rounds, and maybe he did a mean tweet or something like that. But Luka for 7 minutes on one of these couches is going to be a blast.
I want it.
Also,
I don't even know how well Luka speaks English.
I don't know. I can't say how much it's improved, but like I watch enough. I'm a big Luka fan. I watch a lot of Mavs. He does the post game interview really well. Like he's eloquent.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're talking about basketball, so it's probably the easiest thing for him to talk about in English.
Well, not to once again talk about another podcast on your podcast, but when the Ringer guys wrote that song about Luka and then went to perform that song at a Mavericks game last year, they also sat down and talked to him and for a podcast, and he was there, like he got it and he was
really
into
good.
It.
All right,
so
Ryan, you got to book Luka on this podcast.
He's good.
Luka, yeah. If you're listening, I'm sure you are.
Luka, Joel.
Yeah.
There's a couple of like low key underrated, hasn't really, I think, popped on the national picture yet. But I think Jaylen Brown, if he becomes an All-Star, Ooh. Is going to be an amazing talk show guest.
Oh, really?
He's one of those. He's a worldly athlete with a lot of there's a lot of things he likes. It's sort of it's the thing I always look for when I read profiles of athletes, but basketball players in particular. What are they interested in? Because if you're trying to get 7 to sometimes 15 minutes out of somebody on a couch, you better have more than just basketball to be able to talk to with these guys.
Yep.
And he is one of those.
We did forget to mention Blake Griffin did a remote with us once where
Blake was great.
Blake was amazing.
I think everybody can agree. He's not just athlete funny anymore. He's legit funny.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably going to entertain for a long time after basketball.
We could definitely see him moving into a comedy career. Who do you think would be the favorite to be the next Blake Griffin?
Wow.
As far as just comedy.
Off the top of my head.
I mean, I think the funniest person on social in basketball is Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think he's the front runner.
Yeah. He's the only one in my head. Like, Cat, if he gets to a big market, I'd be excited to see what, if Cat had more, you know, like more cameras in front of him. I think he is a very like charismatic person.
Yeah.
But he's just lost in Minnesota.
I was rooting for Cat. When he was Fallon's done a pretty good job of getting the number one picks onto the couch right after the day after, because that the draft always happens in New York.
Yeah.
So proximity helps for sure. And he was good in that like initial situation, which I think the day after that happens, I can only imagine that your head is swimming and you've been up all night.
Absolutely.
And you still have to show up and like basically introduce yourself to America.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good there, but I haven't seen him in that many places.
No,
since then.
No, the not occasional commercial, but yeah, I don't know. I think he's just lost up there, but I don't know. There's not a ton of guys like jumping out. Like,
not to mention another podcast on the same vibe, but Ryan Russell, I was listening to him and he had Cat as number one on the all miserable team.
Oh yeah,
right now.
Yeah, poor
just
guy.
Kind of stuck up there in Minnesota. So
it's a shame that there's this player of that caliber. I know we're getting away from late nights, so there's a player of that caliber that is just playing on a 15 win team up there. It's like, what would he be doing on a decent basketball team right now? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get to see it one day, but I doubt it.
No, you really have to. I mean, in order to maintain some joy when you are losing as often as that team is, that's a really difficult position to be in. I probably wouldn't want to be on a late night talk show right now.
No.
Yeah.
If I was Kat.
But that does bring up like something interesting in that is it more and more going to be a factor for some of these marquee guys to be in these markets, like LeBron eventually ending up in Los Angeles, you know, and the Knicks eventually getting their act together? Like, are these going to be more of a draw for markets for these guys who are now trying to fuse entertainment, business, and basketball?
Yeah, I think that it actually is not as necessary to be on one of the in one of these major cities in order to have a high profile. And the off season is still pretty long, and the NBA year is pretty much all year round at this point. And so the ability to get yourself out there and spend time, you know, figuring out what your media empire is going to look like, I think is possible no matter where you are. Cause I think, you know, that's Giannis true. Is probably the one guy who still has an opportunity to grow as an international personality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, if that team ends up getting to the finals this year or making that major push and he wins another MVP, and then he starts making the rounds, which he also really hasn't done much. Mm-hmm. That's when you're going to get to see, you know, when he pops up on Ellen, like, then you're seeing, oh, here you go. He might stay in Milwaukee for the rest of his life.
Completely different sport, but Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, he's one of the best known media personalities of sports, and he's been in Green Bay his entire life. So it makes sense that Milwaukee can still, you know, have one of the biggest stars.
Just need a fast break for a word from our sponsor and then back to the conversation. You love fantasy basketball, right? Of course you do. I know you're the type of person that thinks about this stuff all the time. You're a damn savant wearing inside-out sweatpants right now, right? So, how come you're not playing Daily Fantasy on MonkeyKnifeFight.com? It's the fastest-growing daily fantasy site on the planet. Why? Because it's pure awesomeness, baby. At MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you're playing against the house. There are no sharks, no confusing interface, and no advanced degree needed from an engineering school to have a snowball's chance in hell of winning. Nope. Lots of people win all the time at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. They got some awesome football, hockey, and golf action too. Just go to MonkeyKnifeFight.com and sign up. New users sign up with promo code SGP and receive a 100% match bonus up to $100. Just use promo code SGP at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. That's promo code SGP at MonkeyKnifeFight.com.
I was going to say one of the other people who... also low key, if he became an all-star somehow, will be a great personality on talk shows. And again, like, we might be talking 135 for now before he works his way back up. But Spencer Dinwiddie is one of the most interesting, funny, thoughtful people that that I've seen, who I didn't really realize until I started reading about him. And his profile has been raised a little bit because this Brooklyn team, even if they're not there now, has that opportunity to become one of those next super teams.
Yeah.
And he will be part of that group. But everything from, like, he has a shoe, which I bought. I'm only talking, I'm basically,
I didn't even know he has done. What's the shoe on?
He's doing it through his own company. He's not doing it through another brand.
Kind of a Big Baller Brand thing.
Yes. I mean, truthfully, yes, in which he's basically, like, has two versions of his shoe. You have to buy them individually through his website. He's got, like, he's basically trying to grow it and then sell it, I think, and betting on himself. And he wears his shoes, and I think this at least happened last year. It might still happen now. He has artists individually create his shoe design every game based on where he is.
Wow.
So, like, when he was in Minneapolis last year, he had Prince shoes.
Oh, cool.
When he grew up in LA, and last year, not to bring it back to Kobe, but his shoes were owed to Kobe last year.
And can you then buy those shoes?
And then he auctions them off so that you can.
Wow. Yeah, buy I'm going to have to do a lot of reading about Spencer Dinwiddie.
He's such an interesting dude.
Yeah. There's two names that also popped in my head. I'm very intrigued by this now. Thank you for that knowledge.
Sure.
I could see Trae Young growing into somebody.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's like has that kind of, if he just keeps developing.
And there's actually a lot of media in Atlanta.
Yes, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he can really like flourish into a guy we'll see a lot. And then I think also too, Donovan Mitchell. I think Donovan Mitchell has like a lot of like promising charisma to go along with like this incredible ceiling as a player.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell is, I think he wants it also.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have to a little bit.
And we'll get a good sense of, because this is going to be his first All-Star weekend.
Yep.
So we'll see how much media he gets to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's great.
And Trae Young is his first All-Star weekend too. So we'll maybe get to see a bunch of him.
I think Donovan Mitchell has a real chance to do something. I think Victor Oladipo's, going like assuming that he comes all the way back, which why wouldn't we assume that?
Right.
He's such a dedicated guy. But what was the viral dance last? Oh, it was that Drake song, the Kiki Do You Love Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Song. Oladipo's dance to that is otherworldly.
I remember it. I remember the buzz about it. I need to go back and watch it.
To the point where it's like at some point, again, this is where small market, big market comes into play. Wherever he goes and how often we see him probably depends a little bit on that. But he is like, he's a guy who'll be great on one of these shows.
And it's funny that you say that. Like, I forgot about that dance, but I just was remembered that he has a good sense of humor because I was watching an Indiana game recently where he was still on the bench. He was still injured. And his outfit was a blazer and underneath a Michael Scott t-shirt.
That is amazing.
I was like, Victor Oladipo was a fan of The Office. So that he wore a Michael Scott t-shirt to a game.
That's really funny.
That is so funny. You want to hear some other all-time guests who you wouldn't necessarily
absolutely,
think great?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Roy Hibbert from the Pacers.
That makes sense. I remember when he was on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Yes. He was on Parks and Rec. We had him. We went to the All-Star game for Pete, and we talked to a whole bunch of these guys before, but we knew Roy Hibbert enjoyed comedy and would hang out with those guys when the Parks and Rec gang, when they were
in. Yeah, he's buddies with Ben Swartz.
Yeah, Ben is friends with Blake.
Everybody, but yes.
He really loves basketball.
Yeah.
I'm sure he talked about it on his podcast, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Don't listen to that one.
But yeah, Roy Hibbert did like, he was just doing riffs with Pete for like 10 minutes. We had almost too much content.
That's awesome.
Harrison Barnes, another really
I had no
dude.
Idea.
Very surprised to hear that.
Well, Harrison Barnes coming off of the first Golden State win was like in a cloud nine situation.
Absolutely.
Also though, you know, I can't remember the name. He also tried to have like a Black Mamba style nickname that he gave himself.
Harrison Barnes?
Yeah. And he had copyrighted it coming out of North Carolina. It never
caught on, obviously.
I can't remember what it is, which probably is, I don't know what that says about me or the name. But either way, we probably ought to look it up just to see. It was fascinating. It was tongue in cheek. He was a very funny dude and really good about like wanting to get it out there. He just isn't in the all-star caliber level. He's like a very good
I'll tell you what, though. Go ahead.
Is it Black Falcon?
Yes, Black Falcon.
Black Falcon.
Black Falcon. It's
amazing.
A pretty cool name.
That's amazing.
It sounds more like a superhero than Black Mamba does, even though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, not a hell of a basketball career, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
still
two major contracts.
Sacramento.
Yeah, two major contracts, champion, baller, UNC. You know, he's been around the block. He's put up numbers.
He's not even, I don't even know if he's 30 yet. Probably not.
Probably.
No.
We don't have to look that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
We might have, like, we haven't really talked that much about LeBron as a guest, but I will say, like, I really enjoy the shop. Like, I think as a host with a roundtable of other athletes and interesting people, however many times he's done it, I really enjoy watching that conversation and seeing where he wants to go. And like, he likes controlling the conversation. I find it's always fascinating. He's not the funniest person we've ever met, although he was really good on Carpool Karaoke with James.
He was great.
Yeah. He seems like he I think whoever you put him in a room with, he can hold his own.
I snuck onto a set. I would say it's probably 2011, 2012. He came onto Fallon and shot. They shot a parody of the Curtis Blow video.
Yeah.
Talking basketball.
Yeah.
He came on and Fallon, he and Fallon did a parody of that. And I had no business being near that set at that time, but I snuck into the studio. It was across the hall. I think they shot like Dr. Oz there at the time. And I snuck and sat in the last row and just watched. I'm a huge LeBron fan, as both of you know. And
yeah.
Just watched him from afar, and I just felt his aura in the room. But yes, everything you said though about him is correct, though. Like,
I like the shop too, but not. He doesn't have a good enough sense of humor, I think, about it, because nobody has. There's no more talk about a basketball player's hair than LeBron's, and he has a whole show in a barber shop. You could maybe do a couple more throwaway jokes to that, LeBron.
That might be too much irony for that group. Your story reminded me. LeBron hosted SNL in, I want to say, somewhere between 07 and 09.
It was before I started there.
And it was the premiere that year. It must have been 09.
Nine.
Sorry, you don't need to know all of the reasons why I remember that. But it was 09. And so one of my jobs back at NBC was helping to oversee SNL as an exec also. And so we got to go to that episode, and he was just hanging out after the show more or less by himself, which is seems so unusual for someone like LeBron. Even at that point, I'm sure he had friends and colleagues around and for whatever reason, they just allowed me to walk over.
Yeah.
And all I said was like, great show. Thanks for being on the show. And we had a lot of Ohio connections in our office at that point. So they all wanted to meet him and just say thanks. Cause like, even at that point, he had brought so much to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like he was very nice, very thankful. I don't want to extrapolate too much, but like SNL is probably a whirlwind for someone who's never done anything like this before. And it seemed like that had finally caught up to him at like 2 a.m. on that night after the show.
I'm sure. I mean, it's a whirlwind. They say what a whirlwind is for people who are well versed in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious to see though. I mean, as far as like entertainment ceilings, his has to be the highest post basketball. Like he's setting himself up for decades being in the entertainment space.
Oh yeah. But this owning a whole media empire around
right.
him, not just like, I think Blake will continue to rise as just a performer, but yeah, LeBron could be owning an entire studio before, you know, we know better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, I mean, it's again, to bring it back to Kobe, but as sort of starting to set a template for what one can do in a post basketball career in Los Angeles, especially it's all there. For whatever enterprises he wants to look into. I mean, I'm sure we're all going to be in line to see Space Jam.
Of course.
Look, we grew up on the first one, but like, I'm fascinated to see what this one's going to be
Absolutely.
Like.
Of course.
It was interesting to bring it back to Kobe. One of his last pieces of media, he did a pod with Steven Jackson and
Matt
Barnes, All the Smoke, right?
Yeah.
And
I love Matt Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, they're phenomenal.
And
And behind him is his Emmy and his Academy Award.
Yeah.
It's just like, he was going to really leave his mark in entertainment. He already was. That was another dagger in just the house of daggers that's been. But
I've been really interested in seeing Matt Barnes. I follow him. I'm sure you guys follow him as well. But how he was able to speak about his relationship with Kobe's been incredible.
I've seen him out there on multiple programs.
Yeah.
And he is a guy where, you know, I accidentally talked about Kyrie as a host, but I seriously talk about Matt Barnes as a host of a show. I mean, I think he does. I know All the Smoke is one, but like whatever the next iteration of, athlete as host is, like, I would watch whatever he does.
Yeah. Same. He fits. Yeah. He fits his like that bridge. He bridges the community of entertainment and hoops perfectly.
Well, we missed talking about one of the most obvious names, and that's Shaq. And you had an amazing story about Shaq.
The King, yeah. I'm going deep into the memory bank. I don't know if you've ever heard this story secondhand, Nick, but this was when we were in Indianapolis for the Super Bowl, 2012, I think, Giants Patriots, mm-hmm. and Fallon did a week of shows there, including the post show live event after on NBC. And we had Shaq, and the big thing everybody remembers from that week with Shaq is that he had a bet with Jimmy about the Super Bowl, and then the payoff was he had to wear a pink Speedo walk from the street into the studio. Well, he had spent a lot of time at the studio during that week, and backstage, you know, it's a new space, it's dark, and it's always kind of crowded and cramped behind the stage. And he was walking, and somebody, you know, there's like a low clearance area, and for most of us, that's not a problem. Well, he hit his head on a steel beam.
Oh my gosh.
Right before he had to go on stage. And nobody, I mean, he wasn't diagnosed with a concussion, but he hit his head on a steel beam in the dark. Like, the bell was ringing when he walked out there. What? Total pro. Total pro as always. But yeah, like,
We've talked about this before. I was just like, this goes to show you how many times he's probably hit his head.
Oh, that poor
guy.
And
he just has to keep going.
He just has to keep going. I mean,
that's such a strange. I mean, nobody knows what I look like on this podcast, but I am 2 feet shorter than Shaq. And so the idea of bumping my head against anything ever is just like not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's another detail or two I'm missing from that story, but the gist of the story was he hit his head and had to go out there.
Oh my gosh.
Immediately after. If I'm not mistaken, if I really want to bring this home and I want to try to land it, I do believe it was right before the Speedo walk. I think
really?
I think he did that whole walk. I wish I could call some. I mean, I know who I could call, but
yeah,
we're way too late. We crossed the bridge.
So he was a guest on Drop the Mic when we were all working on that show I guess it was almost 2 years ago now. And he was backstage because he was looking at, I think, his lyrics for the he just wanted to go over them one time before he went out there. And he was hanging out next to me and Jensen Karp, who created the show, and Jensen's fiance, Danielle Fischel, who...
Topanga, for those who don't know.
Yes. If you don't... she played Topanga on Boy Meets World, which Shaq didn't... he didn't realize that right away. So as he's going through lyrics and he continues looking up at Danielle, it slowly dawns on him that they've met before and he can't figure out why. And then she says, well, I played Topanga on Boy Meets World. And he got giddy like I did meeting Steph Curry. He was so excited to reconnect with her. And I'm sure it happens to Danielle a decent amount of times, but that, I've never seen anything like that before.
That's so rare. That's like not the person I would expect to see him get
Shaq,
giddy about.
Yeah.
He was so excited.
Oh. He's
it was
the
hilarious.
Best, man. He's just the best.
Just taking a last break to remind you to enter our NBA Odds Pod Frauds Contest. We're giving away $1,000, but you have to make sure to enter before Valentine's Day. If you think you know what teams will falter after the All-Star break, this contest is for you, and it's completely free. Just find the fraudulent NBA teams. Pick two from each group that will perform the worst in the second half of the season, and you will win big. Just go to sgpn.io/NBA frauds. That's sgpn.io/NBA frauds, and you can find out all the details on how to enter for free. Reminder, that's sgpn.io/NBA frauds.
We don't talk that much about WNBA players who've been on these shows before. It hasn't happened quite as often. Some of it is just unfortunately the WNBA isn't quite as internationally successful as the NBA is. Sometimes it's the timing because we're off as so often when the WNBA is in full swing. But Elena Del Don, who was the MVP last year, mm-hmm. Is a great talk show guest. And Skylar Diggins is a great talk show guest. I don't know if you guys know Skylar, but she was...
I know who she is.
Yeah, I know her basketball,
So yeah, she was the first person that the Jay-Z's company signed, I think, from the WNBA to rep. And she... This is so random, but like I saw her as a guest on 106 in Park, and she was really good with Bow Wow. And I was like, well, she can hang with Bow Wow. She's probably really good. And she's like a very enigmatic, fun personality.
Deep. Yeah, I like it.
She's really good. I think that Sabrina Ionescu is going to be a really good talk show guest once she's done with her Oregon career and starts playing. And Candace Parker is another. We had her on Drop the Mic. And she was just game to go full out on that show, which I think you always. She's also on television a lot now too. She's got on Inside the NBA.
We have a shared experience recently. Has not aired on television yet, but we were all on the same production and set as J.R. Smith recently.
Oh yes,
yeah,
and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so
I would say he's not as dynamic as some of the like the other names we've mentioned as far as like carrying something. Like I don't know if JR, my opinion, I don't know if he could carry something, but he was an absolute blast.
Yeah, I do like watching when people are enjoying the moment so much, and you know we had to send him through a whole group of stunts. He's sitting next to comedians who are goofing on him on. Rob Gronkowski on any number of sort of people around.
And he's on Venus's.
Yeah, Venus Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like to watch these guys, someone like JR enjoying himself was a blast. Yeah. Really made for fun television, I thought.
He was very fun. And one of the writers on Game On, she had a t-shirt of his. So there's a t-shirt made of him of all his tattoos. So when you put on the t-shirt, it looks like you're shirtless with all his
shirtless
tattoos.
JR, yeah.
And so she wore it to the show, and I remember her, she was a little shy about going up and getting a photo with him, and she went up to a couple of his like entourage type guys, his media guys, and was like, "Hey, do you think it'd be okay if I asked JR for a photo with this on?" They're like, "Oh, he'd love that. He'd love that. Go get a picture of him with him right now."
Yeah. He was so generous. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a like really, really nice person.
Yeah. That was, I hope a team picks him up for the tail end of the season, because he just shoots daggers and it's really fun to watch.
Yep.
I feel like he's got to join a team for the second half after the All-Star break.
It does seem like a post-February pickup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a plug and play, but let's just get KCP out and put JR in the Lakers. Let's go already.
I mean, wow. It had to have come up somewhere. Someone must have asked LeBron about whether or not JR can play on this team.
Yeah.
Here's another like very left field guest booking that happened it's probably 10 years ago. On the Leno Tonight Show, he had Caron Butler as a guest one night.
Wow.
When he was a Laker. And he came on the show and Jay's another guy who he appreciated having talented people on the couch, but he's not a diehard basketball fan necessarily or viewer. But Caron Butler came on and started telling stories, which made him tear up, made Caron really gave of himself. It was like a much more emotional 7 or 8 minutes than you would expect. He wasn't doing bits. Wow.
Were you were producing it, like you were on the network at the time?
I was at NBC at the time.
Do you recall if like the, because I mean, for people that are listening, like, you know, a lot of research and preparation goes into producing a guest. Yeah. Do you know if that was like in play? Like, did Jay expect it to get, can you recall?
Well,
or?
You know, they would go over topics to discuss and questions to ask. So there was an awareness that he would go into a bit of his life story, which I think you'd have to look it up. I don't want to misremember what he talked about. But I don't know if in the moment or in any of the pre-interview portions of the show or whenever the guest producer was talking to Caron that they realized this was going to be such an emotional moment. It was really touching. I was his story is a
I love him in it. I don't remember watching that, but I love him in interviews.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I've listened whenever I see his name pop up on a podcast or something like that, I'll be sure to download.
I feel like that'd be a hard video to find, but I do want to go see if I can find
it's really hard to find Leno clips right now.
Those hawkish media companies, man.
I apologize on behalf of all the networks that we've worked.
We went for an hour.
Wow.
You feel like you got all the stories that you want, or is there anything else? Or,
no, you know, I think one of the great things about following the NBA and college as well is when you fall for the players, not just because of how much they do on the court, but what they're like off the court. And so it's really fun to talk about. I mean, I feel like this is just a normal conversation that we have in the hallways.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, it's why it's the best sport. I mean,
well, and that's why it's so the most popular sport on social media, is because all these guys are such personalities, and you really seem to get to know. There's something about basketball as a sport that makes you feel like you get to know the players, even if you're not hearing them talk. It just feels more intimate somehow.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think this was a good exercise. I think that the league has probably for a long time now assumed that they can't come here. It's not a safe space with Nick Bernstein and the stories of the Steph Curry day.
Yeah.
So I think that this clears the air.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is a safe place to come and enjoy yourself and be an entertainer with
James. You probably
James.
Won't even see me, guys.
Come on the Late Late Show. We want all the NBA.
You've already said you're not a very tall man, so if you're an NBA player, you might literally not see him.
That's right. I'll skate right past you.
Just look for your shoes, though.
I'll probably be wearing your shoes.
Whatever shoes you wear, will have a pair of them.
Yeah, James Harden, I will be wearing your shoes when you come.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, well, thanks, guys, so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm gonna dunk it! Basketball, give me.